Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 106 on March 21st, 2020. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Marathon Petroleum, Bank of America, and the U.S. Oil ETF. And this week, we discuss three new trades on VanEck Vector's Gold Miners ETF, the Silver Trust ETF, and Twitter. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C at theweeklyoption.com. And I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know and understand in order to be able to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. So this week, we had another one of those weeks that make your stomach turn for sure. And make you gulp real hard. Yes, I mean, it's clear that this fall off in the equity markets is tied to the coronavirus. However, that doesn't mean that we will immediately return to our previous highs as soon as a vaccine or better treatment are available. I think we've had a huge drop. So this was the largest week-over-week drop in the U.S. equity markets of recent date. So this week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 4,011 points, closing the week at 19,173 points. The S&P 500 index fell 406 points, closing the week at 2,304 points. Now it's time for the topic of the week. The topic of the week this week is just going to be something very simple, something that I like to think of as a trading style of mine, and that's just going with the flow. So there are a couple of different types of trading out there, trading styles that are sort of opposite one another. You can have trend following versus contrarian investing. The contrarian investor is the one that looks at the current situation and says, I don't believe this is happening, and they're already planning. They're planning the retracement. They're planning for the market to move in the other direction, to go contrary to what it's currently doing. If you're a contrarian investor right now, you're probably, you know, looking to buy calls, buy call spreads, and or just outright buy stock, expecting the market to just go back up sometime soon. The trend following investor, however, says, I'm going to look at what the market is giving me and just go with that. And when the market changes, I will also change my direction and follow the trend. I've found for myself personally, I'm a much better trend follower than contrarian investor. But you really have to figure that out for yourself. But that's the reason, as a trend follower, that's the reason why going with the flow works well for me. Going with the flow can also just mean looking for low-hanging fruit. So the market is going down right now, or it's been down. It could go down more, or maybe not. Maybe it's already bottomed out. But right now, I really am focused on buying put spreads and selling call spreads. The more simple the trading thesis or idea that I can have, the better. I sometimes try to get clever, like, was it last week? It's like, hey, we're going to buy a call spread expecting gold to go up as the market goes down. I would have been better off just buying a put spread on the spiders, expecting the S&P to go lower. Instead, I tried to get tricky, and turns out that gold actually fell alongside the market. So the markets are complicated enough on their own. And if I've learned anything in my almost 20 years of trading, professionally, it's that everything is hard enough. The markets are complicated enough on their own. Look, options, trading options, that's complicated enough on its own. So I found that the more simple the trading idea, the better. And hence, that's why I gave up contrarian investing, at least when it comes to my professional life, a long time ago. I do much better going with the flow. So that's one of the top, that's what I wanted to discuss this week. You don't have to be on an island, you know, waiting for the market to go the other direction and so that you can say that you are right. There's a lot of money to be made just saying, okay, well, the market's going this direction. Let's jump into that traffic and keep going. Now, you have to still do that with caution and with a proper understanding of risk, but there's money to be made, even if it's crumbs. I've eaten well over the years on crumbs. So that's it. Let's get into the trade review from last week. And of course, we always start off with our covered call. And I don't know how much more cautionary I could have been about the covered call strategy than last week and the week before that. So if you missed episodes 105 and 104, feel free to listen. I'm not going to dive back into that today, but last week we looked at Marathon Petroleum Company, symbol M as in Mike, P as in Papa, C as in Charlie. At the time, the stock was trading for $24.92 per share. I looked at buying that stock and selling the April 25 call at $2.65, hoping to collect a 10.96, almost 11% return in 5 weeks. Well, Marathon Petroleum stock fell $5.97, almost $6 a share this week. The option that we sold can be repurchased, locking in a profit on the option of $2.30. This leads to a net loss on the trade of $3.67 per share. Now, it is possible to roll the strike down to the $20 strike for the option, and you would collect another $1.77 in option premium if you did this, but you would also make it where your best case scenario would be a loss of 85 cents per share, and that's if the stock finishes above $20 per share. So this trade, of course, and many of these cover calls only make sense if you are already the owner of the stock. So in that scenario, the money that you collect by selling that call option actually helps to offset the losses that you took in the stock. But if you just put this on as a standalone trade, there are very few chances that you could turn this into a profit without changing the risk dynamics from that original cover call. So we know that when the market's going down, if we're short this call, we could buy a put, we could buy some put spreads, we could sell calls and call spreads that are up above this strike as well, just to try to bring in some premium, enough premium to offset this this net loss that we've taken in. But again, I'm not big on this style of trading at all. I'm not going to dive into that, but the reason, some of you might say, well, why do you cover it on the show? I cover it here because covered calls, this strategy tends to be where most retail investors sort of dip their toe into options, trading options. So if you own the stock and you sell a call option against stock you already own, it's a great way to bring in some additional money on a position you're already holding. So it's sort of like being a landlord. You create a scenario where you get paid for keeping that stock in your portfolio, and you also create a scenario where if the stock is taken out, you're going to lock in some profit on the stock, and also you get to keep that option premium. So it makes sense if you're doing it as a yield enhancement trade. If you're looking at this as a standalone trade, I'm not a big fan. What I am a fan of course, are some of the spreads. So let's get into our credit spread from last week. We looked at Bank of America, symbol B as in Bravo, A as in Alpha, C as in Charlie. At the time, the stock was trading for $24.16 per share. I looked at selling the April 25-26 call spread, collecting 30 cents on that spread, and that creates a maximum possible loss of 70 cents. So Bank of America stock fell $4.49 per share this week, closing at $19.67. The out of the money call spread we sold is even more out of the money now. So if you were to buy the spread back right now, you would pay 27 cents, which allows you to lock in a profit of 3 cents. However, we all know that our goal for this call spread is for it to expire out of the money. That being said, we will capture our full profit, get to keep the 30 cents that we sold it for, as long as the stock remains less than $25 per share, which at the moment is likely. So I intend to hold on to this and just let this one play out without interfering with this trade at all. You can get tricky and start to sell put spreads against it and whatnot. I just want to, you know, make my money on this call spread and ride into the sunset in 4 weeks. And then our final trade from last week is a debit spread. We looked at the United States oil ETF, symbol U, as in uniform, S as in Sierra, O as in Oscar. At the time, the stock was trading for $6.96 per share. We looked at buying the April 7.5, $7 put spread for 30 cents, hoping for a gain of 20 cents, which would be a 66.7% return on our capital in 5 weeks. And I'm sure you guys have all been aware of what's happened in the oil market. This ETF is a great way to play the oil market if you're not comfortable with or don't understand the risk in trading the underlying futures and the options on the futures of crude oil. So USO shares were down $2.02 this week, closing at $6.96 per share. The in-the-money put spread we bought is even more in-the-money now. So if you were to sell the spread at this point, given the prices, you would only pick up 3 cents. But we definitely know not to sell this spread back at this point, because if we let this trade expire, as long as the stock is under $7 per share, which at this point it appears like it's going to be. And I believe I just made a mistake in what I said, actually. So the stock is down $2.02. It closed the week at $4.94 per share. Sorry about that. Stock did not close at $6.96. It closed at $4.94 per share this week, which is why this in-the-money spread is so much more in the money. You know, full $2 in the money. So as long as it closes, it meaning the USO ETF, closes for less than $7 per share, we're going to make the full return of roughly 67% on our capital in just a matter of 4 weeks more. So definitely worth keeping an eye on this. I like trading these ETFs because it lets me focus on the overall what's going on in crude oil as well. There's a bit of a stand down happening between Russia and a trade war between Russia and, they say, Saudi Arabia, but really it's Russia versus OPEC. And I really think this can change things. Of course, with the coronavirus, you also have fewer people driving on the roads these days, which means that the actual demand for crude oil, not only in the US but around the world, is lower. So with less demand, you're going to have more supply. You also have two major oil producing countries adding supply to the market, or at least not agreeing to reduce supply. So when you have lower demand and you have increased supply, then you're going to have lower prices. It's a perfect storm for crude oil to stay low right now, which might actually hurt the U.S. Shale oil crude facility. But that being said, right now it's also a great place to make a little bit of money if you are an option trader, which we are. So keep your eyes open, because this can be changed on a dime. I mean, if you saw a news release saying that Russia and Saudi Arabia both agreed to cut back the supply of oil, you would see the price of oil increase almost overnight. I mean, the traders would take no time. They would waste no time in pushing this price back higher, because a lot of companies and countries benefit from a higher oil price than having oil, I believe, in the 20s right now, 20-something dollars a barrel, certainly under 30. So that is it for the trades for last week. Now, this week it brought some news that was a huge reminder to me. So The later version of a firm, the firm that brought me into trading professionally, so the firm I originally worked for on the option, the firm that taught me how to trade options, they ultimately sold out half of the firm to TD, Toronto Dominion, to become TD Options, and they took the rest of the company and created another big trading firm. And that trading firm this week blew out, which was huge. Blowing out means that they couldn't meet their margin call, and therefore the trading firm, actually the clearinghouse, closes their doors. They have no more capital to trade. They close all open trades, and that's it. All the traders are fired, and they just kind of roll on. The firm no longer exists. So it's a very personal reminder to me that this game, this profession of trading options or trading in general, is truly all about managing your risk. If you ever have a position that is too big to fail, close it. If you realize that your risk of loss is unlimited, close the position. Like, if you could lose more, like if any trade that you're on is going to possibly cost you your full trading account or your house or your kids' college fund or your retirement account, you know, you name it, you just keep going down the road. If it's going to cost you everything, but you know, winning means that you change your life forever, you're probably going to lose. Like, I've just seen, it's, you know, maybe that's a little bit of Murphy's Law coming into play. Maybe that's just a life, a profession of trading, and seeing how these things play out happen. I don't like unlimited risk. I don't. And this current market, this current environment is really what Nassim Taleb would call a black swan event. Which means it's a statistical anomaly, right? We're way out. If you're familiar with Gaussian statistics, we're way out in the tails. This is a tail event. You expect these events to come at some point, but you never know when or how or what's going to make it happen. You also don't know when it's going to end. So, you have to trade knowing that these tail events can happen. And if a tail event happens during your trade, if it costs you everything you own, everything you've worked for up until this point, change your position, because it most likely isn't going to play out the way you want it to. Now, what's interesting is that the crash of 1987 made the previous founder of the old company a legend, made him a legend on the trading floor. And unfortunately, we're seeing the crash of 2020. It's taken his son out, and the firm that he founded ultimately is out of the industry. So another reminder just to always know and manage your risk, whether you're dealing with an individual or dealing with a company or whatever the case may be. So we'll go ahead and get into this week's trades. We're going to start off, of course, with the cover call. This week I'm looking at the VanEck Gold Miners ETF. Symbol GDX, G as in golf, D as in delta, X as in x-ray. Stock ended the week at $20.55 per share. I'm looking at owning that stock and selling the April 21 call at $1.98. Looking at a maximum return of 11.82% in 4 weeks. Now, you would enter this trade by buying GDX stock for $20.55 per share and then concurrently selling the April 21 call at $1.98. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $21 per share, and the break-even price on this is $18.57. So in real terms, the stock purchase would require $2,055, and you would collect $198 for selling the option. Our second trade on the week is going to be a credit spread. We are looking at the iShares Silver Trust ETF, symbol SLV, S as in Sierra, L as in Lima, V as in Victor. Stock ended the week at $11.62 per share. I'm looking at selling the April 12-13 call spread at 33 cents, looking at a maximum possible loss of 67 cents. So you enter this trade by selling the April 12 call at 78 cents and concurrently buying the April 13 call for 45 cents. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay below $12 per share. The break-even price on this one is $12.33 per share. In real terms, you would receive $33 per spread that you sell and have $67 per spread at risk. And then our final trade on the week is a debit spread. We're looking at Twitter. I've liked trading this over the years. Stock symbol TWTR. T as in Tango, W as in Whiskey, T as in Tango, R as in Romeo. Stock end of the week, trading for $23.95 per share. I'm looking at buying the April 25-24 put spread for 64 cents, looking at a maximum or hoping for a maximum gain of 36 cents or 56.25% return in 4 weeks. So you enter this trade by buying the April 25 put for $3.15 and selling the April 24 put at $2.51. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices remain below $24 per share. The break-even price is $24.36 per share. In real terms, you'll pay $64 to enter the spread, and your maximum gain is $36 per spread. So that's it for this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Stay safe. I finally started taking this coronavirus very serious over the last 7 days, doing a bit of self-isolation, social distancing, self-quarantining, however, whichever term you favor. It is a struggle for me as an extrovert, but I know lots of my introverted friends out there are enjoying this time alone. So I'm going to do my best to stay in. Ideally, I'm going to record a few more videos. In fact, I haven't put this podcast on YouTube in a while, so I have some catching up to do, and this time indoors will allow me to catch up with that. So I hope all of you are doing well. I hope you are safe. I hope you are finding ways to stay connected to whatever communities you are part of during this time apart, and overall just be healthy, stay healthy, and if you have some symptoms or need some help, definitely seek medical attention. So that's it. Look forward to sharing some more trade results with you next week. Happy trading.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.